Yeah. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is something that's real simple. But I think if you hear me, I think it's going to bless your life. Mm-hmm. All right? I think it's going to bless your life. Now, you can say amen. You can say oh me. You can say ouch. You can say preach, preacher. You can say whatever you want to say. It ain't going to bother me. All right? I'm focused, man. I'm focused. All right. So, Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. I'm going to talk about something. I've been talking about this at Excel. I've been preaching on it. Pastor De Leon been preaching on it. We've been talking about this thing. It's been good. Because how many of y'all want to be somebody? Yeah. See, that's every hand should have went up. How many of y'all want to be somebody? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And watch this. The bottom line is you are somebody. Right? Yeah. People always tell you what you can be. You just need to tell them who you are. Because of who I am, I do what I do. And when I do what I do, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it like I'm doing it for TV. You know about that, right? I figured they know about that. I felt like I was asking some thugs at Excel. They understand that. You know what I'm saying? I got some of them Baltimore protesters at Excel. All right, a few of y'all got that. I'm going to say it again. You know, when I do what I do, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it like I'm doing it for TV. That means I'm giving God my best. All right. Amen. That means I'm giving God my best. Well, in the book of Nehemiah has been given a burden by God to do something. The same as you. Consuming fire has been given a burden by God to do something right here. Off of this spot. Right here. God's put something in your heart. God's connecting you to a leader that wants to do something and be something and release who God is inside of him to inside of you so you guys can get to work. Go ahead. Nehemiah was minding his own business. Somebody say, I was just minding my own business. Yeah, that's usually how it happened. I was just minding my own business, bro. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I wasn't doing nothing. I was hanging out at the teenage center. I was going to the club, and all of a sudden, Jesus just showed up. I wanted to do what they were doing in high school. Them girls was pretty to me, too. They look good in them jellies. Y'all don't know nothing about no jellies. Y'all don't know nothing about no jealous. Y'all ain't old enough to know nothing about no jealous. You know about them jealous, all right? You don't know what jealous is? Yeah, they're looking good in them jealous. People act like when you get saved, you don't see them jealous. I saw them jellies, Westry. That's a shoe, y'all. For all of y'all that don't know, that's a shoe, okay? That's a shoe, a clear shoe. You know, it can be pink, blue, all them different colors. But it's see-through. Yeah, all right. I ain't want y'all to go nowhere. I ain't go there. If you went there, that's on you. I didn't do that. So I wanted to do a lot of things, but like Nehemiah, God had put a burden and a vision in my heart to empower his people. Yeah. Like Pastor Fred and his wife, God had put a vision in my heart to do something greater. Yeah. Like you, God has put a vision in your heart to do something greater, to be something more than where you came from.
That's right.
To not be defined by who your family is.
Right.
To not be defined by where you grew up. To not be defined by how much money you had or you didn't have. You had a burden to do something and to be somebody. To make it plain, to make it known what God had put in you. And you wanted to minister to people and touch people. You know, it's no crazy accident that y'all showed up in here tonight. You could have been anywhere tonight. That's why I tell leaders, don't be fussing at people that show up. Call the jokers that didn't. Fuss at them. Because the jokers that showed up, right? The jokers that showed up deserve a pat on the back. At least they came for the coaching, for the teaching. Right? Yeah, because they could have been somewhere else. Y'all could have been at Club Cream tonight. And I know Halifax ain't so far back off in the woods that y'all ain't got no clubs out here. I know it's a club out here. And look, I know it ain't so far back off in the woods. Ain't no liquor house out here. Tell me. Somebody got a white jug with some corn liquor in it somewhere around here. And you can't tell me it ain't no place out here where they ain't smoking no weed right now. But why are you here? You here because you want to be. Right? And if you ain't here because you want to be, your mama probably brought you because you need to be.
Amen.
Amen. Nehemiah was the same way. Chapter 1, he gets a burden. He feels because he hears the story that his people, where he grew up, where he came from, they're living in ruins. How many of y'all feel that way about somebody? See, that's what we forget. We get in church and we turn so inward that we forget to be outward. This is going to be better when you hear the CD. We get so caught up in what's going on with us, we forget that God saved us, gave us a burden and a vision. He gave us a burden and a vision for people. People need the Lord. People need the word that's in your pastor's mouth. People need the love that's in your pastor's wife. People need the love that's in this room that you all have. God put it in you. And watch this. You know, it irks my nerve, Pastor, when people say, God, I want you to go in the hospital and move by your spirit. I need you to go down to the nursing home. I need you to touch. They be like, God, we need you to move. And you know what God is saying? When you move, I move.
Amen.
When you go up in that hospital, I'm there. When you hit that nursing home, I'm right with you. Everything you smell, I smell. Everything you see, I see. Why? Because I put a burden in you. And I'm not Casper the Friendly Ghost. I don't just float around and go in hospitals. I live in a people. And when my people move, I'm there. You are a living, breathing Ark of the Covenant of God. Ark of the presence of God. And wherever you go, that's where he go. So Nehemiah had this burden, because bottom line is, if these walls are not going to get built just by thinking about it. I told my mom one time, I said, Mom, two birds rest on a fence. One bird decides to fly away. How many birds left? She said, one. I said, no, two, because you can decide to do something and still not do it.
That's right.
I know I'm right about it. Because I guarantee you there are things you decided to do that you ain't done yet. Watch this. Do you think this is all God want from you?
No.
Come on. Is this it?
No.
This it?
No.
So you manifesting everything God put in you, you manifesting at 100% right now?
No.
See what I'm saying? So somebody say there's more
that
I can do. Now here's the issue. God is faithful. The issue ain't God being faithful. The issue is us.
Amen.
It's us.
Amen.
Every time something messes up, it ain't God.
Go ahead.
You're like, God was like, well, I wanted to go over here, then I changed my mind, and I went over here, and I told him I was going to go over here, then I changed my mind, and I went over there, and I thought about being over here, and I told him to meet me over there on Block Street. Next thing you know, I'm going to be over on Straight Street. No, God said, wherever I tell you to go, wherever I tell you to meet me, I'm going to be there. You know who ain't there? Us. See, I like to say us. I don't like to say you. Somebody say us. Mm-hmm. I feel like Isaiah. It's me. I'm dirty. The people dirty. We all dirty. Clean us all. So Nehemiah has this burden. Chapter 2, he goes to work. Somebody say go to work. Now, this is what I want to say about work. Somebody say, talk to me. What I want to say about work is this. Most people say work is the curse. Don't be doing this. Don't be doing work, work. You know, work is the curse. God told Adam from the sweat of your brow, work, work. How many of y'all know before Eve showed up, God gave Adam work? See, I ain't going to tell y'all what them preachers tell y'all, because them preachers going to keep y'all single. Men and women. This is what they say. Girl, if he ain't got no job, he ain't the one. Your man need to be working. Watch this. Adam won't go into no plant. Y'all gonna make me preach over here. But Adam won't go into no plant. Adam wasn't showing up at Burger King. Adam wasn't walking in an occupation. Adam was walking in a vocation. So when you look for a man or a woman that's walking in a vocation or a call, not an occupation. Because them preachers will have you single forever now. Somebody say vocation. Not occupation. Yeah. And even if he or she got an occupation, at least they working towards their vocation. You got to give them some credit for that. So chapter 2, Nehemiah shows up to work. When he shows up to work, the king says, what's up with you? You never been like this in my presence. Somebody say paraphrase. Here it is. I'm paraphrasing 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I might not tell you to look at one scripture, but work with me. Check me out. Be like the Bereans. Check me out after you go home. Chapter 2, he says, why shouldn't I be like this? And see, that's the question you got to ask. Why shouldn't I be hurting and aching for people? Because in the church today, everybody's so deep. Jokers be like, well, what I would like to talk to you about is the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant to his people, the Mosaic principles of bringing people out of bondage. I'd be like, dude, just tell me, man, what was up? It ain't that simple. It ain't that hard, bro. Just tell me, man. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Just tell me, man. Jesus told Lazarus, come on out the grave. You don't have to say, death is this, and the worm was down in the ground, and the symbol. You ain't got to do all that. Just tell me what's up. So Nehemiah has a burden. The same way we should have a burden for people. You can't, listen to me, you can't continue just to get in your car. You can't continue to go to the picnic. You can't continue to go to the family reunion. You can't continue to show up at work and show up at your kids' games and not say nothing about Jesus. Now, when we were in high school, I remember Miss Taylor being my teacher, my homeroom teacher. And you know, West Street, I don't even think we graduated together. I'm going to be honest with you, bro, because I had a couple of 10th grade years. I think you thought I graduated with you, but I didn't, bro. fire, man? Is this fire? You know, my first year in the 10th grade, I don't even remember it. I was a treasure boy and I was smoking so much weed and drinking so much beer, I don't even remember it. I just remember coming home at night and getting beat. Walking in the house. Mama, don't hurt me. But that summer, the summer of 82, I got saved. So when I went back, my second 10th grade year, y'all laughing. Somebody said, like, oh, I thought I was the only one. I wasn't going to tell nobody. But since he said it, Pastor Henderson is right. Yeah, my second year, I would have been there working. I remember going to Miss Taylor's class and saying, Miss Taylor, you need to know Jesus. I remember turning in my homework, Pastor Fred, with a scripture on it. Got it tattooed on my arm, Acts 4:12, my favorite scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I capitalized the must. I told the teachers that. I remember walking into the principal's office, my second 10th grade year. I walked in there, I said, what was that principal name? I can't remember. Mr. Reddick. That was one of them. It was a big. Man, this is somebody. I walked up in and I said, today is a national day of prayer, and I need to pray in this intercom. I know somebody was saying, like, we need to call his mama. Because he is wilding out right now. But like Nehemiah, I had a burden to see my friends saved. And you know, a lot of people say that don't work, that don't fit the bill. But I was going to Morningstar Church of Christ, and we had it packed. Because we was talking to people about Jesus. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah said, I got a burden. I'm going to pray about it. This king says, I'm going to give you everything you need to get it done. And I'm trying to tell you, a king will show up in your life when you make a decision to do what you're here to do. Will give you everything you need. Will foot the bill. I heard it even in the office. He told me what people have done. Amen. That's because of a commitment to the call of God on your life. Yes. Nehemiah chapter 2. He tells the king his vision. Later on, he tells the people in Jerusalem his vision. Chapter 3, the people believe the vision and everybody gets to work. Chapter 4, the devil show up. In people. You know, I like to tell people all the time, it's like, you know, it's two voices speaking. Right. Watch this. I'll take it even closer. Watch this. It's two voices speaking through you. Either you inspired by the Holy Ghost or you inspired by God's enemy. Watch this. Remember when Jesus had his face set like flint to go to Jerusalem to get on this cross and die for the sins of mankind? What did Peter say? Be it far from you, Lord. And what did he say? Did he say, well, Peter, let me break this down to you, explain what I'm trying to do. Well, for 3.5 years, he did that. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. See, the things in your life that God is asking you to do, somebody is coming to you and saying, it don't take all that. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to get with pastor. You ain't got to get with first lady. Y'all ain't got to do all this stuff. Every time I turn around, y'all doing something. Y'all trying to fill people's cars with gas. Y'all trying to wash cars. Y'all trying to reach people. Why? Because that's what you're here to do. But you always got a voice that's going to try to get you to walk away from what you're supposed to be doing. But it's real simple. Because I believe what God has called me to do, I act like it. You know how Hardy's got that slogan, eat like you mean it? I like to tell people, church like you mean it. Don't come up in here and be halfway. Go hard in the paint. Be violent with it. Be vicious with it. Be serious about it. Church like you mean it. Chapter 4, watch this. This is how serious Nehemiah is. Nehemiah said, you know what? I got enemies. They're asking to meet with me. They want to talk to me. They're talking about me. They're ridiculing me. They're despising me. They're saying all kinds of things about me. But you know what I'm saying to them? I ain't meeting with you. I ain't coming off this wall. As a matter of fact, I heard y'all plotting and scheming to come mess up what I'm doing. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell everybody with me. Somebody say everybody with me. Come on, somebody say everybody with Pastor Fred them. Come on, say everybody with Consuming Fire. Now watch this, I'm going to give you some wisdom. Nehemiah said, as a matter of fact, what we're going to do is we're going to set guards. Because this is the thing with Christians that I have a problem with, bro. They say and they soft. They say and they soft. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See what? But I like to tell people, I'm saying I ain't soft. Now, Jesus took all them licks, but I ain't taking one lick from you. Don't try me. I'm going to get you in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray for you later. I'm going to hit you like Samson hit him. Y'all know how Samson was knocking people out. Check it out. Here you go. Nehemiah was so serious about it. Nehemiah said that while we working, we're going to work with one hand. And with the other hand, we're going to have a sword. He's saying, we all about the business. But I wish the devil would. Because this ain't what you want. I remember one time when I was young. I was a little boy. You know, my mama is the, I love Jesus more today than yesterday. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Thank you. Y'all gonna say, he a comedian. I ain't a comedian, I'm serious. I remember this lady, her last name was Battle. One of my sisters had either said something or done something. And, you know, it's three sisters, three girls, 7 years, then me, then my brother. So they all older than us. So, you know, one of my sisters had said something, and the lady was getting ready to fight one of my sisters. Now, my sweet mama, I ain't never heard her cuss. I ain't never heard her slip up and cuss. I ain't never seen her do nothing. I ain't seen no men in the house. I ain't seen nothing. We went to church every Sunday and Sabbath and had no end. Mm-hmm. My mama was in the shower. Somebody say shower.
Shower.
Yeah, see in the projects, you know, you got that little window and it fog up so you know somebody in the shower. My mama was in the shower taking a shower. When she heard somebody say, that lady get ready to fight so-and-so. My mama came out the shower wet, put on a house coat, some house shoes, grabbed a butcher knife, and was ready to go to work. Why? Because she was like, you ain't going to put your hands on my child. See, Nehemiah had the same mentality. God has put this burden in my heart to do something great. Don't complain with me about it. Because this right here is my assignment. This is what I got to do. When I go to glory, it's going to be said of me, well done. Amen. Not well thought about, not well written down, not well planned, but well done. Yes. Nehemiah has people so motivated to work that in chapter 4 it says, and the people had a mind to work. Everybody's working. Now, here we go, chapter 5. I'm just going to get this to you real quick. Chapter 5 breaks out. Everybody mad. Husband's mad. Wives mad. And I said this the other week. Usually, it's the wife that tell the truth. The husband don't tell the truth. You be like, hey, bro, how you doing? All is well, man. God is good, bro. We just chilling. We just trying to maintain. We maintain the sun. Know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Okay. But that wife be like, no, we behind in our light bill. They got to get our lights. We got no food. The kids hungry. We got no Pampers. Come on, Jesus, move. You know it's right. Don't you? That wife will tell it. That husband won't tell it. That wife will be like, we ain't going to sit here and not have no food for these babies, Jerry. I had to tell it. You won't ask your mama, you won't ask your daddy, you won't ask nobody. We need some food for these babies. Wesley said, man, don't come back over here no more. Well, when you listen to the tape, you're going to really appreciate me. After I'm gone, you're going to really appreciate me. So here it is. Chapter 5, everybody upset because brothers is doing brothers wrong. Now, here's the thing I want to go back to. Watch this. God is faithful. We ain't. So, as God builds this community of where y'all are, when I say community, I'm talking about two words, common union. There's a common union here. Consuming Fire Global Ministries. There's a common union. There's a common vision that's being relayed. The worst thing that could ever happen is that people don't see that vision, embrace that vision, and work that vision. Because what we do is we get content just coming to church. We get content just showing up and feeling like that's what we're supposed to do. But you know what? This is where we come to worship. But like the Baptist boys say, we depart to serve. We depart to get to work. We depart to take everything that God has downloaded through our leadership to us to put it in action. Everything. I say at Excel all the time, I would rather my leadership have to tell me to stop than to start. Stop bringing stuff. Stop doing stuff. Stop, stop, stop. Versus, come on, man, when you gonna get right? Come on, man, when you gonna do something? Come on, man, you've been talking about this for years. Like for instance, watch this. Let me give you a practical example of what I'm talking about. Because we talked in the office. He said, yeah, man, I'm writing a book. Wouldn't it be great if somebody said, Pastor, you writing a book? Yeah, on that series I preached in January, I'm writing a book. I want to write a book about it. Pastor, where the CDs at? Let me get them. Give me them CDs. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to transcribe them. I'm going to hand you your book. I want to make this as easy as possible. You know, I've been thinking about we want to do a school. Pastor. Let me tell you, I got a friend that does this and does that. And you know what? They got a girl, they got a girlfriend, a boyfriend that can hook us up on a grant. I done called them and put everything in. All you got to do is sign this paper and the money ours. See, Nehemiah was saying, let's get to work. But what happened is the people were betraying each other by not looking out for each other. See, if you're going to be in the community, look out for each other. Be down for each other. He's like, you can't talk about him. You can't talk about him. You can't come say nothing to me about him. You can't come say nothing to me about her. You can't say nothing. I don't care. I made a statement on Facebook, and it said, this Sunday, all around the country, Jesus is not making an appearance himself to preach. He's going to use a flawed surrogate. So it's like, I'm with you as long as you're right. Well, I need you to be with me when I'm right, but I need you when I'm wrong so you can help me get right. See, because, thank you, Holy Ghost. Me and my sister talked about this. What people do is, like when you go to work and your supervisor say, I need you to take that trash out and take care of that. You'd be like, yes, ma'am, I got it. Yes, sir, I got it. Right? Ain't no problems. Right? You didn't get no problems, do they? It'd be like, hey, man, there's a fire. You're a fireman. I need you to climb up on that roof and hose it. He'd be like, I got it, sir. Yeah, lap. Give me that hole. Cut the water on. Cut the water on. But you come in church. See, authority works everywhere for church folk but church. Because as soon as somebody say, yeah, we need to get together, we need to meet, we need to do this, we need to give on this, we need to give on that. The Lord ain't told me all that. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't really agree with you, so I'm out. I'm out. You're pushing my buttons too much. I'm out. Matter of fact, watch this. Oh, I had a long weekend. I don't think I'm going to church this Sunday. I'm going to chill out. But early Monday morning.
Early.
And look, they will walk down the stairs asleep. And get in that car and hit that highway, bumper to bumper traffic to get to work. Because you feel like you need that job. The most important thing you need in your life after Jesus is this community. Right here, look, look at each other right now. Look at each other and say, we all we got. Nehemiah was saying, look, we done did everything we could, pay every dollar we could to get you out of bondage. Now you guys are putting your brothers and sisters back in bondage. I need y'all to cut that out. Give them their houses back. Give them their vineyards back. Give them everything back. Let their sons and their daughters go. So as a matter of fact, meet me right here. Because we're going to write it out right here, right now. And I want y'all to commit to giving them their stuff back. They said, we're going to give it back to you. Then Nehemiah hit him. He hit him with this. He shook his robe and he said, if you don't, may God shake you out. Like everything being shook out in this robe right now. And see, that's how serious it is. Chapter 5, everything ceased. The work ceased. What will make the work cease more than anything? Us not recognizing that we are a community. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about communion. Common union. I had a young lady one time. Her husband was working with me. He was in the streets when I met him. He was working with me. And he was saying, man, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a preacher. I'm called to preach. I don't know what to do. I said, rock with me. Rock with me, man. I'll show you how to get it done. I'll give you your opportunities. I'll help you get your weight up. Yeah, that's what glory is anyway. You know it's weight. His wife hit me in an email and she said, Pastor Frank, I really feel like we should have more communion. I want to have communion because I feel like I need to get myself cleansed. I need to get myself whole. You know, I want to confess my sins. I want to do the blood and the bread. And I said, well, first of all, it says as often as you do this. It doesn't say do it often. Secondly, that ain't what that's for.
That's right.
Communion, watch this, is when we learn to discern the Lord's body. Now watch this, watch this. See, we are the body of Christ. And he that has anointed us, somebody say us. He that has anointed us is God. Now watch this. Because we are the body of Christ, when we drink the blood and when we eat the bread, we're saying, you know what, sis? You know what, bro? I see you and I embrace you. I recognize your portion in my life. I recognize what you bring to my life. You are important to me. She said, baby, Pastor Frank on something. I think he a cult leader. I think he this and that. I said, let me tell you something. Because I'm saved, but I ain't saw. I said, if you take this man, if you take this man who is doing good, who is living for God, who is giving his best, doing everything he can to be a man, if you take him out of here, he will be at some church hooping and hacking like an old school traditional preacher within a year. Then I talked to him. I said, bro, don't do it. It's a bowl of soup, man. You're going to abort your destiny. He's like, nah, man, you know, I got to whatever. Guess what happened when I saw him a year later? He was at a church, and he was emceeing. And he was talking about, I wish somebody would, ha. I wish somebody would, ha. Ha. Yeah, ha. Do you feel what I feel, ha. You know what happened a little while later? I saw him in the store. Guess what he said? She left me. I said, bruh, if you don't take your space, you can't keep what you got. See, a lot of people lost a lot of stuff because they ain't in their space. You get in your space, you good. Where was Adam at? In his space. When he got out of his space, what happened? Chapter 5. Eventually, everything happens that needs to happen. Chapter 6, they go back to work. So stand with me. Let's make a declaration. Somebody said, how he gonna come preach and he ain't give you a scripture? My man, I told you, man, that's why I love you, man. I'll let y'all check it out. Go on, give me something sweet, man. Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. I want you to just do something with me. Okay? I want you to close your eyes. I want you to say what I say. Say, God, I am committed to this community. Every person in this room, I'm committed to. I'm going to work with them. I'm going to play with them. I'm going to build a kingdom with them. I'm going to be serious about it. And from this day forward, I put my hand on the plow. I ain't looking back. And I'm going to do your mission like I mean it. Let me pray for you. Father, every distraction that your people are facing, I ask you by the power of your spirit to give them the strength to confront it and eliminate it. Every hindrance in their life that's keeping them from doing community, from working together, from making consuming fire everything you want it to be, take it out of their life, burn it by your Holy Ghost. Help them to see perfectly. Help them to understand clearly everything you're asking of them. Everybody stretch your hand toward Pastor Fred and his wife. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for this incredible wisdom and ability to explain your word. Father, strengthen him. Strengthen her. Heal every nick, every cut, every wound, every heartbreak, every bruise by the power of your spirit. Anoint them with fresh oil. Let them feel like they just began again. Turn that fire up in them. Let them set this city and this community and this nation ablaze. God, let every king that's supposed to come into his life show up. Let him give him everything he needs to do what you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I got one more thing to say. I'm out. This is a crazy statement, man. So we're going to make it, all right? That's what I like about you. He's like, just be crazy with me. We brothers. I feel like Martin and Eddie Murphy standing on them bottles. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You gonna run? You gonna run? I gotta play it. Usually in the body of Christ, we have this great dilemma that goes on. And here's the dilemma. Usually we sacrifice family at the altar of ministry. And everybody talks about that. You good? You good? You sound good anyway, man. Watch this. Oh. Oh. Can I get a woo woo? I'll play. <there. laughs> You better not, man. Oh, I love that DeMonico singing anyway, man. That spiritual songs, y'all just make them up. I love that, man. That's my flow. So, usually we sacrifice family at the altar ministry. And everybody talks about that. Oh, don't forget them. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do this. Bruh, win your house. Don't win the world. Lose your house. Don't be a public success and a private failure. But also the other side of that quarter is this right here. We sacrifice ministry at the altar of family. Because we be saying, I would, but I can't, but you know, he don't or she don't, X, Y, Z. May God give us the perfect, perfect understanding of everything. Here's a story. I told this to Pastor McDowell the other day. I said, God called Moses. Moses made a mistake. Moses ran. He was chilling out. Found him a girl. Found him a good family. He was out herding, having a good time. And then one day, God showed him a burning bush. Showed him a burning bush. Told him everything he's supposed to do. Said, you're going to Egypt. Tell him, let my people go. So him and his wife, his donkey, a staff, and two kids. Watch this. Him, his wife, a donkey, a staff, and two kids take off to go to Egypt. And you know he's successful because he leaves like that, he come back with 6 million people. Ain't no joke. Somebody say that's mega ministry. But before we do that, let me go to this piece. Because I want to say this because this is important. Because this is some of the stuff that we miss. When Moses takes off to go to Egypt, the Bible says, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Lord sought to kill him. Like, how you gonna tell me to go do this and then turn around and now you ready to kill me? It's like, you need to do what I need you to do. But watch this, here go the piece. Listen. The Bible says he pulled aside, got in the cave, circumcised his sons, and got back on the road. His wife took the foreskins, threw them at his feet and said, thou art a bloody husband to me. I'm going to translate that 2015. Moses, you ain't about 5 cents. I could translate a little deeper. But I ain't going to do that. But they get on the road to do what needs to be done. And this is what I'm saying. With everything that God is calling y'all to do, you have to recognize, watch this, that everything is not going to be perfect all the time. Everybody's not going to understand everything all the time. You feel me? But you have to, watch this, you have to be in love with the mission. Because the mission is birthed out of your relationship with God. It's the litmus test to if you're serious about God. So if God tells you, I need you to start a business, you need to do that. Because why would God keep talking to you if you won't do it? It's like Moses, if you don't pass this test right here, turn around, you will never go to Egypt. I won't let you waste my time. And that's where we are. God is saying to the church, if y'all ain't gonna do what I asked y'all to do, why are we doing this? Why are we praising? Why are we worshiping? Why are we giving God glory? We won't do what he say. That's our job. Every soldier gets his orders from headquarters. Headquarters got a view of the situation that you don't. He saw everybody in Halifax that needed what was in y'all. So you gotta do it. You gotta say, hey, you asking me to do something I don't want to do. I don't want an extra day. I don't want to practice. I don't want to do none of that. You talking about practice? Practice, man. You talking about practice? Not a game, but practice. Somebody gonna catch that later. God said, I just need you to do this because you all I got. Your hands, my hands. Your eyes, my eyes. Your heart, my heart. Let me come through you. Let me live through you. Let me touch. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to say some stuff you ain't going to like, but I want you to do it because I see further than you do. Moses, I see 6 million people in bondage that need to come out. Nehemiah, I see people in ruins that need protection and security. Do it. In Jesus' name. Thank y'all so much.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Did he not preach? Amen.